Today, I'm going to tell you about a book. But not just any book. Because this book saved my life. This book saved my life when I was free-falling towards death. It's the information manual for a 1979 Cessna 152. Did you guys think I was going to say the Bible? No, the Bible saved my afterlife when I was falling towards death. But the Cessna story really is true, and I really will get to that if you'll be patient with me. That was just a bit of a teaser. Today's message really is about the Bible and how important Scripture is. Scripture refers to itself in many different ways. It calls itself honey, bread, food for our soul, a seed for salvation, and a fire that purifies. It calls itself powerful, trustworthy, true, pure, perfect, and many more, only a few of which I'm going to cover today. In 2 Timothy 3 and 4, Paul is instructing Timothy about how to go on without him. Specifically, how to tell people the good news, how to preach without him, and how to teach without him. And he says this about Scripture. He says in 2 Timothy 3:15, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Scripture thoroughly equips us for good works. Now, I'm no mechanic and not by a long shot, but the one thing that I know for sure is that every job becomes so much easier if you have the right tool. And I think that's why so many men spend all their time building these huge tool sheds, is they are thoroughly equipping themselves for whatever job might may come up. I relate a little bit more to technology. I don't go anywhere without my cell phone. It's the tool that I use for communication. I've thoroughly equipped myself for my communication needs in my day-to-day life. Conversely, jobs get a lot harder when we don't have the right tool, or even worse, if we have the right tool and don't know how to use it correctly. One time I was leaving an old Chicago with our youth pastor, Aaron Holbert, and as I was leaving in my old pickup truck, he remembered that he'd forgotten to tell me something and he needed me to stop my car. And so he thought, how can I get Brad to stop his car? What can I do? And then he remembered that he had a cell phone. So he pulled out his cell phone, wished it a fond farewell, and threw it, John Elway style, across like 50 yards of parking lot into the back of my truck. It's actually a really awesome throw. But the point is, Aaron had the perfect tool in his hand, and he threw it. We're going to watch a video here. I think, do you have the video queued up? All right, well, we're not going to watch a video on this one. In the movie Saved, there's this scene where they're trying to save a girl who's really fallen into a sinful lifestyle. And basically, Mandy Moore is trying to confront this girl. Mandy Moore is like this good Christian girl, supposedly, and the other girl's falling away from Christ. Anyway, the girl who's fallen away from Christ says to Mandy Moore, "You don't know the first thing about Christ's love." And and Mandy Moore takes her Bible. She says, "I am filled with Christ's love," and throws it at her. And anyway, and the girl picks it up, and she walks back to Mandy Moore, and she says, "This is not a weapon." Well, does anyone see any similarities between the story I just told and the story that I told about Aaron? And no, it's not that they both throw like girls. Aaron and Mandy Moore both had been thoroughly equipped for the job at hand. They both had the perfect tool for the job in their hands, and they threw it. The Bible is an amazing tool if it is used correctly. The Torah, the first five books that Moses wrote, are actually called in Greek the Pentateuch, which literally means five tool, not to be confused with the Pentateuch, which is this one. I threw that in last minute, didn't know if it would work. Anywho, the Bible is absolutely a tool that is meant to bring people light and freedom in Christ. And while we don't see the Bible being literally thrown around very often at all, we see all the time the Bible being figuratively thrown around. We see Scripture being thrown at people. Groups out there like the KKK and the Phelps group that pickets servicemen's funeral, all of them are quoting Scripture all the time. Just like Aaron, they have the perfect tool in their hand, and they throw it. They don't know how to use the tool correctly. 2 Timothy says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." But actually, the one who got hit with the Bible was wrong too. The Bible is absolutely a weapon. In fact, I think just last week I heard Steve call it the cannon. You guys are supposed to laugh at that. All right. Anyway, because cannons are weapons. So the Bible is absolutely meant to be a weapon. Thank you, Jamie. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Paul instructs the church about how to properly defend themselves against, quote, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And in these instructions gives what is known as the whole armor of God. In the pieces of armor he lists, there is only one offensive weapon. Anyone have any guesses? Beginning at Ephesians 6:14, Paul writes, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." God's word is absolutely intended to be used as a weapon. He's given it to us as a sword. On a side note, as I was researching for this message, it occurred to me that God's word is spelled the exact same as God's sword, which really excited me because now I'm going to start calling my Bible God's sword, protector of the innocent. Like, pull out your God sword and turn to Ephesians. Anyway, the Bible is absolutely intended to be used as a weapon. It's also intended to be used as an instruction manual. And it's the perfect guide for life if you use it correctly. Now, in fact, Psalm 119, 105 says that Scripture is a light to guide our feet. Now, when I was 20 years old, I enrolled in flight school. And in order to get my license, I had to pass this commercial exam, which was this incredibly long test, and it was closed book, so I had to memorize everything. I had to memorize this thick textbook. I had to memorize this manual. I had to memorize flight charts. I had to memorize flight calculations, everything, right? And then I took the test, and I did just fine, and being a 20-year-old, was convinced I was invincible and would never need it again. Well, 2 weeks later, I was proved wrong. Because my second time ever flying by myself, my first time out of the pattern, I forgot to do my pre-flight. In the excitement of the flight, there was one key part of my pre-flight that I didn't do, which is leaning my fuel mixture. And basically what that means is that I increase in altitude, I get less oxygen but the same amount of fuel, and my engine stalls. So sure enough, I take off, and 300 feet above the ground, my engine failed. To make matters worse, I was flying out of Greeley Weld County Airport off of runway 27, which means I was directly over the sewage pond, which adds that sweet after stench to Greeley's already lovely bouquet. Well, I'm standing here today because I did something right. And more specifically, I had memorized on some like Wednesday night at 3 a.m., page 48 of this manual. But before I tell you what I did do, let me tell you some of the things that I did not do. I did not pull out my flight manual. Let's see here. Engine fail. Let's see here. Pre-flight capabilities, engine maintenance, in-flight emergencies. Okay. Let's see here. loss of flight service, collision avoidance, engine failure on takeoff. Okay. So you're having an engine failure. Not to worry. Splash. Right? There was no way I had time to pull out my instruction manual. Some other things I did not do. I did not judge the plane like, plane, in the name of the instruction manual, I rebuke thee. Page 2 clearly says thou art a flying machine, and yet thou ceased to fly. Henceforth, splash, right? Other things that I did not do. I did not try to interpret what page 48 meant. The author, this was written in 1979. He could have meant so many things by in-flight emergency. Let me cross-reference that with another manual. Splash. I didn't do that. I didn't pull out my smartphone and run a Cessna Gateway search for engine failure on takeoff. I didn't call a friend for advice. I didn't need to do any of those things because I already knew what to do. I had memorized it, and to be honest, I did it completely instinctually. I pointed my nose down, which is very hard to do when you're falling out of the sky, hit 60 knots, put my flaps down, did my fuel shut off, shut down the ignition, did my restart procedures, and it started up, and I'm here. I didn't tell you that story because I made it. I told you that story because, I guess I kind of did, but... I told you that story because we all laughed at the things that I didn't do. They're completely irrational when you're talking about an emergency like that. When you're falling out of the sky, nobody would do any of those things, right? You need to have it memorized. And yet, we do that stuff all the time when it comes to our spiritual lives. And for some reason, it's perfectly acceptable. The Bible is, just like the Cessna Manual, the Bible is the perfect instruction manual for life.